You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ, you been keeping up with tennis this year?
Not as much. I haven't had a chance.
Wimbledon has begun.
Yeah.
You can go over there. You can bet on it right now. My pick of the week is for Rafa to upset Novak.
On grass?
On grass. Okay. Mostly just because I hate Novak.
Yeah, I hear that.
Rafa's plus 600 to win Wimbledon.
So it's really good money to bet on Rafa.
Not a bad bet, at the very least, if nothing else. You can also go in there and bet on all sorts of other stuff. Megan's camera struggling today, it would seem.
I like the last time it cut out. It came in like with a real nice zoom, cropped out, like very artsy. it was like the half face album cover.
Okay, head on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Use that DNVR code to sign up for a new account. Use our pick of the week. Jump on it while you can. With Wimbledon or anything else you want to bet on. There is the Australian Ice Hockey League. You can bet on that if you're really jonesing for hockey content. You can get in on all sorts of stuff. So do all of that. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Before we get into the proper off-season topic of the day, the parade was yesterday. We all watched it in one way or another, whether it was being sick at home on the couch or actually going there. So
it was supposed to be a little different plan for us. And then three of us get sick and that changed the whole, changed the math on it.
Things definitely went a little bit sideways, but highlights for all of y'all, besides, you know, that police officer thinking Bowen Byram was just a random fan.
Brutal, dude. Brutal.
Which is like a parade requisite at this point. At least one player gets fucked up, starts running around, and a police officer is like, sir.
Well,
so you get back behind the barrier, and he's like, I'm a player. And the guy's like, oh, sorry.
So it was funny. Because the parades really have, like, they've kind of changed from what they were back in 2001. We're like, now the whole point of it is kind of like, yeah, these players are tanked. And, like, you just kind of get to see them because, you know, run around, whatever. So last night, Hannah, like, you know, we're talking about it. And I was showing her some of the videos she had to work yesterday. She was like, wait a minute. These guys are drunk? I was like, yeah. She's like, and they still let them do speeches? I was like, nah, the drunk is like kind of part of it for the speeches. I was like, that's kind of the thing. And so, yeah, like you said, it's kind of become them being that drunk has kind of become the bit. I thought it was awesome, though, man. Like, it was cool. It was cool to see the players. People don't fully appreciate the amount of work and sacrifice and all that stuff that goes into it. So like, it's cool to see them like fully cut loose in celebration. I thought Landy's speech was hilarious.
I had Eric Johnson pegged as the one that was going to get up there and start doing crazy shit.
Yeah. Me
it
too.
Was not Landy. Landy was not the guy that I thought was going to get up there and just start dropping F-bombs.
Multiple.
Yeah. It was like he did it once and was like,
well, I'm in the room now.
Yeah.
All right. What are they going to do? Stop me?
I thought Bednar's speech, like, you could tell he was pretty hammered too, but like I loved his. And then Mika cracked me up.
The fact that Jared Bednar very clearly becomes an I love you drunk when he drinks. Yeah. Very funny.
I did not have him pegged for that big of a crier. I'm not gonna.
And it wasn't like he worked his way into it and something hit him. It was like he started there.
Right.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, this brings emotions. This is hard to watch.
And then,
but also great to watch.
Right. Hard because it's great.
Yeah.
Miko's dance coming out of the tunnel.
It was so bad.
Bro,
he can't move, man. He can't do the robot.
The moose walk.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought that was the point, is that like he can't do those things, and he was like, I'm going to do them.
It was so funny because, it sounds, I didn't actually realize until in the evening when Allie sent the text to, or the Slack, I guess, to all of us. She's like, with everyone getting sick and everyone else kind of here, we'll just kind of push the show. I didn't realize everyone else had gotten sick. So I had to watch on TV. I was planning on going down. But what I actually appreciate about watching on TV is they kept cutting to Rantanen and Lehkonen. They started with a lot of their coverage at Ball Arena. And by the time they're getting near the end, before they're even getting on stage, like, you could tell, it's like, oh man, those two are bombed. Compared to the way the footage was showing them 45 minutes ago, these guys are trashed. And so that was a really funny progression to watch.
I have a friend who was actually in the Civic Center yesterday. She tweeted at me that they like had to carry Lehkonen at one point because he was just done. Like, he was, yeah,
dude,
great stuff.
No, it was great. And then I was telling you guys before, like, excuse me, honestly, AJ, like I've spent a lot of the last couple days thinking about you and me in the media school and all that stuff, where we talked about covering the Avs the way that we always wanted them covered when we were younger. And a lot of that was driven by, like, you know, wanting to see more people, you know, being invested in hockey and having an interest in such a great team and such a great sport and all that stuff. And it was just awesome to see that many people yesterday out. You know, I saw people, you know, Instagram stories and Snapchats and all that stuff. People that I know, you know, hadn't been big Avs fans, weren't watching them all season, you know, down at the parade, enjoying, celebrating. And it was just, it was awesome to see the city of Denver show out the way they did yesterday in support of this team that, you know, we all dedicate literally our lives to, you know, to be around and watch and cover and talk about and listen to and all that stuff. And it was cool to see a bunch of other people embrace that.
Yeah.
500,000 of them.
Insane. Genuinely
a lot of people that
turnout.
I will tell you, you could tell that this run was resonating because as soon as they won the cup, my phone just went doot, 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 doot. And it's and I would say like half of them are from people that don't watch sports at all.
Yep.
And that was it was just very cool to see how much people started to get into it. You know, some of these people, like, you know, a healthy chunk of them won't stick around, and they'll just be the casuals that hang on for a deep run. That's totally cool. But the ones who you've permanently ruined their lives by making them hockey fans.
Got him.
Well, dude, so I had a great buddy of mine from an old job. But, you know, I have old coworkers and you know, friends and people from high school, like you said, all texting me and all that stuff. But I had this one guy in particular who I called just a couple days ago because he had sent me a couple really nice texts. He's not really a hockey fan. He's not originally from Colorado. He's actually like a diehard Milwaukee Bucks fan. and Brewers and all that stuff. And so, you know, they won a championship. The Bucks won the NBA championship 2 years ago, a year ago. I don't remember, very recently. And when I talked to him the other night, he goes, dude, I watched every Avalanche playoff game in full, DVR'd him if I could. And he's like, because I was just thinking about you the whole time. And I wanted to be able to watch this, and I wanted to be able to talk to you about it, and I wanted to be able to enjoy it. He's like, and you know, he's like, I couldn't believe I'm not at all. I'm surprised they even lost that many games, dude. They were just better than everyone else. Like, their guys were so, you know, and like, again, he doesn't really know much, but like, he watched every game, DVR'd him if he couldn't see him live, and waited to see the results so that he could watch them. Just to your point, AJ, like, cause I used to talk to him all the time about this stuff. And like, it was just, it was so cool. The night it happened, I think by the time I got off the ice, out of all the media availability stuff, and was walking over to the hotel, I called my mom, who was with my sisters and my dad and my nieces and all that stuff. And I was like, I saw all you guys texting. I was like, I'm really sorry. I think I had 45 unread text messages. And like, some of those were group chats where, you know, it's like people going back and forth. But I was like, I'm sorry. I just wanted to call you guys and say like, hello, I can't believe it. I love you. Bye. Like, I've got to go. And I have 1,000 texts to respond to, so that's why I haven't responded back. Yeah. But like, yesterday was also kind of just like the culmination of that. And I loved it, man. Like, it was really cool.
Megan, you were actually downtown for this event. What was it like down there?
It was, every corner was packed with fans, and my parents actually came up with me. It was really important to them. And my mom had special ordered matching shirts for her and my dad to wear,
nice,
that had McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog on them. So she was really excited about that. But even like right in the center where Civic Center was completely packed. But even on the parade route was also just packed with fans. And I was telling Jesse earlier that everybody would get a cheer when they came by, but it was really nice to see the crowd reaction to Bednar. People lost their minds when his fire truck came by too and were chanting his name. But it was a really awesome atmosphere, because when they were doing the speeches, I was out of the Civic Center, just kind of on the side. And I wondered how loud it was for the players, because they were doing a lot of things to engage the crowd, like getting them to sing All the Small Things. And everybody was engaged. It was really a fun atmosphere.
Okay.
I don't know. I have
yeah,
a cartoon that's not mine. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just learned that.
Is that Leah's cartoon? I don't know.
Yeah. but no, Megan, like, that's so awesome. Like, it's just, that's part of the reason why I was so bummed sitting there on the couch yesterday, feeling so crummy. Cause just what you just said, like, it's packed. The players they've talked a lot about the fans in the last few days and what the fans actually mean. You know, Bednar, I think, mentioned it in his speech that, you know, the fans made such a difference. And it's just awesome to, you know, to hear you go be downtown and be a part of that and have your family be a part of that and, you know, see all the street corners packed and all that stuff. And you guys all know how I feel about Bednar, and I think he's an incredible leader, an incredible coach, and I'm happy to see him finally get here, because I felt like, and it's not just me, we've talked about this countless times on this show, that we've always felt like he was the right guy for the job, and that if anyone was going to be able to get this group there, it was going to be him.
Well, and now, like, unequivocally, best Avalanche coach in,
yeah,
that they've ever had.
No doubt about it.
A top five coach in the NHL, for me, an unimpeachable record. You're talking about the guy has the fourth highest postseason winning percentage ever.
Yeah. Right.
Parade? Oh, sorry.
Like, I just, it's cool to see that he's got the thing that he needed on his record as validation. So if you just jumped past all these guys that, oh, this guy's not any good, he can't adjust, he can't do this, he can't do, it's all about what he can't do, right? Oh, can't. Well, he's got a ring now, so GG.
What were you going to say, Megan?
Oh, the parade had so many things that catered to me personally. There was Sean Behrens on the DU hockey float.
I thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah. Cute. Like, you get to win a national championship with your college team and then watch your future organization win a Stanley Cup and be a part of the celebration.
Like, you're in the parade for your NHL team. Like, a very cool thing.
Yeah. That's exciting. And then, of course, some of the Eagles representation on some of the fire trucks was very exciting to see.
I also love that on that float with Behrens and the DU guys, like, they had the Mammoth and they had the East High School, but they also had the Mini Avs Pee Wee tournament champions. I just thought that was a really nice little touch. Seriously, I mean, like, when you step back and think about it, like, Colorado had a huge year in hockey this year. And it's pretty freaking sweet. And then I did like that they included the Mammoth because they're not big enough to like get a parade of their own. Yeah. So to be able to have them be part of it, it was cool. It was cool to see them. I don't know how many organizations in the four major North American leagues would embrace other teams, other leagues, other championships like that at their parade, and I thought it was a cool little nod. And then we have to mention Josh Kroenke, right? We got to give a shout out to Josh.
That was so cool. I think I was with Michaela. She spotted it coming down. We were desperate trying to get photos. It was so cool to see it with a lot of really cool people around him too. I think he was on Bednar's with Sakic too.
Yeah, with Joe and Stan and yeah, Josh Kroenke's up there wearing the Carry Me Home DNVR shirt. Pretty sweet.
Stan giving off the biggest dork dad vibes. Where he didn't know what to do other than give the thumbs up. That was it. That was all he could do. It was just the thumbs up. He had no idea how to celebrate.
Yeah, when you're worth that much money, you're not used to pandering to people. Like, yeah,
bro,
my presence is enough.
Shotgun a beer, all right? Have a little bit of fun.
And look, you know, I know, and we've done it too, and a lot of people like to give the Kroenkes a hard time for the way that they can spend their money. Sometimes, like I said, we've done it fully, and I'm sure it'll happen again. But I did think it was notable that both Joe Sakic and Jared Bednar went out of their way to acknowledge that the Kroenkes have given them the tools, have given them the trust, and allowed them to kind of like follow this process and not put pressure on them to do something that they felt would have disrupted what they were trying to accomplish. So as much flack as they get for the practice facility and the locker room and, you know, kind of being secondary, it does sound like they were comfortable giving the keys to Bednar and Sakic.
Look, I think you're definitely justified in being angry at the Kroenkes for numerous things, but they've always treated the Avalanche pretty darn well. They're always willing to spend to the cap. They've always been willing to give Joe Sakic or Jared Bednar or whoever, whatever they need, given the situation on the ice. So,
well, and I thought it was interesting too, that one of the things Kadri said after on the ice, after they win the cup, is that Stan and Josh have both talked to him and said, we want you to be here. And so the fact that, you know, even the players get that kind of vote of confidence from the owners, it just the last few days have been kind of eye-opening for me on that side of it, because it always has felt so hands-off from the Kroenkes. But there's almost part of that that maybe sounds like that's what makes the relationship work well, is that they're like, hey, you let us know how much money you need, and we trust that you're spending it and making the right use of it. You know, Jared Bednar talked about the support staff coaching and all that stuff. And he's like, these guys are world-class. And when you got Joe Sakic putting them together and the Kroenkes footing the bill, you're going to end up with a pretty good, you know, group of guys. And so we do have to give some love to them. And Pat Maroon is furious.
Whole city of St. Louis is in very shambles,
upset.
Dude.
Yeah.
Very upset. Bennington.
We are brought to you by Avoca TV. You can go get it right now at avoca.tv. $15 a month for the first 3 months for your TV. Just $25 a month after that. It has Altitude. It has AT&T Sports Network. It's got national channels. So it's got you completely covered for all of your Colorado sports. Highly recommend you go check it out. Super easy to use. It's just like a normal cable box that plugs directly into your TV. Just needs an internet hookup too. So check it out today at avoca.tv/DNVR. And get yourself signed up. We're also brought to you, of course, by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can't get 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar right now, but hopefully by August, the remodel is done, and you'll be back in there getting your Breck brews. You can get them at your local liquor store while you wait, of course. So be sure to go check out Breck Brew, too. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah, go ahead, Jesse.
Just, I know we're about to move on, but we can't wrap up the parade without mentioning the Naz Too Many Men shirt.
Yep.
Just Beauty. Incredible. And make sure you are going to at Guffy Chan's Twitter and follow the link that she posted. That's the official shirt. Half the proceeds going to, is it the Nazem Kadri Foundation, I believe is what it's called. There's a lot of people out there that tried to copy it right away because it was an amazing shirt. But make sure you are going the proper channels to get one. I already got mine. It was an incredible shirt. And it's ultimately going to a great cause. So make sure you guys are supporting that if you are going to get one.
And it was one more thing for Tampa Bay people to whine about.
Yep.
The same people who couldn't stop jerking off Nikita Kucherov last year right. for the $18 million over the cap shirt somehow thought that that was classless.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
But yeah, no, I thought that was great. And yes, she's already raised over $15,000 for his foundation. It's through up the to shirt. 30. It's up to 30 now. I mean, good. just crazy. Absolutely awesome. And like I said, I got mine. Money going to a good place. So if you're going to get one, make sure you are going through Adrian's official
chat.
Yeah. She learned the hard way about coming up with a good idea yesterday.
Yep.
Because our shirts get copped on
constantly
the same way. Pretty much anytime any of them come out, there's immediately a knockoff out there without the DNVR branding on it. That you can buy for like $12 or whatever.
And it's a shitty shirt. And
yeah, and it's garbage. The design
like fades immediately. Yeah.
It's fucking garbage, man.
The Miko one, I remember we even like pulled it up on the show. This was 6 months ago. It was literally even like the same like pose of him shooting and all that stuff. It's like the ultimate, like, can I copy your homework? Sure, but change it so they don't know, like meme. Like you guys didn't even like try. You stole the phrase on it. You could have at least changed the graphic a little.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
That would require any amount of talent. But anyway, chat, we see you all losing your minds about who's staying and who's going in the Avs organization. I promise we will get to that next week. We will get there. But we wanted to talk about the Central Division today. And how the league is adjusting to the Avalanche being Stanley Cup champions. And we mentioned it earlier. We're going to circle back. Jared Bednar, now the best coach in Avalanche history. A couple of new coaches in the division, too. How are y'all feeling about the new look of the bench bosses here in the Central?
So, with the Jets news today, I was listening to, with Z, we were listening to, some Jets pod reaction. One person is no longer a Jets fan. Just gave it up entirely. Was like, fuck this. This is the end of it for me. I'm out. And then the other one just sounded broken, like entirely. So that's, you know, Rick. I think Rick Bonus trying to play the we're going to hope to win 1-0. Thing that he did in Dallas is going to be a lot tougher to do with that Jets defense, but yeah. I tell you, Ville Heinola may never get to play again at this point, just because they're gonna ride or die with Logan Stanley and the big guys. Just a very archaic way of thinking, and they're just the worst. I all of my concern about the Jets and all the talent that they do have is pretty much out the window. They're going to waste this core. I don't even know that they're going to be ultra competitive at this point. The Rick Bonus thing was about, in my opinion, one of the worst things they could have done.
I was really surprised when I saw that today. I was genuinely surprised that was the move they made.
Well, and we'll get into some of the other teams here, but I think all of us are scratching our heads a little bit where they're like, okay, so the Avs win the cup and your answer is to get slower.
Right.
Well, and I would say it makes sense, right? Because you're not going to try and catch up with them. You're already so far behind. There's already so many guys that there's only so many guys that can do that. I would say trying to be the opposite is probably the more realistic team building path than being like, well, hey, now we got to load up on speed and skill and try and beat them at their own game. Like, I'm just not sure that that's the approach.
The interesting part, because I would agree with you, had we just watched the Avs like boat race everybody for the last 2 months. But I mean, the Avs, three of the four teams they beat, the conversation going into those series was, ooh, these teams are gonna slow the Avs down. They're gonna make it tough through the middle, they're gonna slog it up, they're gonna play heavy on the wall. And the Avs just kind of chewed it up.
Yeah, well, so Nashville didn't belong on the same ice as them, and I'm willing to throw them 100%. Out the window. St. Louis didn't really want to do that, though. St. Louis has to get out and play high-octane hockey. That's who they were all year.
Well, they did a terrible job of it then.
Well, yeah, it's why they're home. Like, it's why they're home, man. The St. Louis honestly was who they were all year in that series. They got beat. They got beat in all shot metrics. They got their head kicked in. They relied on their power play to keep them in games. They relied on comeback ability in order to steal a game here and there. And they just hoped that their goaltending was good enough. They had to try and outscore all of their problems because they were brutally bad defensively. And come playoff time, they were even worse because for some reason, Colton Parayko fell apart. Whoa. So I just think St. Louis was like, if they didn't really want to try and slow it down as much as slow the Avs down to their pace, because they also want to get out and play a higher octane game. But Edmonton obviously wants to go back and forth. And then Tampa Bay did slow it down, but at the expense of their own scoring chances. Because right. So that's, as successful that's what I was saying. As the Lightning were in grinding the games to a halt, they couldn't score anymore. It was like, oh, Darcy Kemper has to give them a freebie in order for them to get through it.
And that's like, I'm looking around the Central Division, and you already said it with Winnipeg, but I'm looking at the rest of these teams and I'm like, do they really have the defense to attempt to play this
right.
way?
And that was my point, you know, regardless of whatever St. Louis did, was that you saw three separate teams, regardless of what you think of them, say, okay, well, the way that we have to counter this is try to limit their chances. And it just didn't work. So it was just interesting to see this offseason, the Central Division all say, okay, well, we're gonna double down on that and try to prioritize it. You're right. You don't have Nathan McKinnon. You don't have Cale Makar. It's hard to play at that pace. But it is just interesting to see that division kind of try to go in that direction as their response to the Avs.
So I am.
Dallas did the same thing with Pete DeBoer. They're like, hey, we want really right. slow. Now, Dallas is already there. They've already been playing that way.
Yeah.
I think that they just went and got a better head coach for it. They're kind of like in the same spot that they were at the end of the year. But now you add Winnipeg to the list. We have no idea what Chicago's going to be under Richardson. We have no idea. And they're trying to trade everybody under the sun except the guys they should be trading. So we don't know what they're going to look like.
I did want to get Megan's take on this adjustment in the Central, because the rest of us grew up with dead puck era hockey and know what it's like to watch a 2-1 hockey game every night. But Megan, where do you stand on it?
Well, it's kind of like what Jesse said, with this being some kind of response to the Avalanche, because right now the Avalanche are the team to beat. They've set that standard this season, and it just isn't much of a response throughout the Central Division, because none of this is much of a change. Like, the landscape of coaching is a coaching carousel that is just recycling coaches that have done a lot of the same things in different organizations. And so it's not really a new response to the AV system. It's just moving chess pieces, and it's not really a tactful way to go about it. I think DeBoer specifically in Dallas is just going to make them a more annoying team to play against, because generally DeBoer coaches teams that frustrate the Avalanche, but it's not something that they still can't overcome. And hopefully he implements something that's a little faster for Dallas than what we saw under Bonus, because that was disappointing, or slow hockey to watch at points, even in the last season. So I don't have a huge opinion on what that's going to do, move the needle for the Central Division next year, because I don't think it's going to change very much.
It's, you bring up a great point, and you know, we kind of glossed over this, but the Avs just won a Stanley Cup with Jared Bednar, not a guy that had been on the coaching carousel.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. So,
three Stanley Cups won by first time head coaches.
So I was going to say, take it a step further. I guess, is it now? Because was Pittsburgh back to back before Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Led by Mike Sullivan, right? Is that what you just said? So the last three cup champions were all led there by first time NHL head coaches.
Craig Berube was in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Blues. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah, you're looking at there's certainly an interesting trend here.
Right. And the most recent
AHL coaches getting promoted.
the most recent cup final, Colorado Tampa, was maybe one of the best finals we've seen in a long time. Two really well coached teams, two teams that made adjustments, punch, counter punch. And it's by two guys who are still in their first head coaching job in the NHL. And yet, to Megan's point, all these other teams are like, man, that those two teams just are kicking everyone's ass. Go get the 70-year-old guy who's on his fourth team. It's like
Rick Bonus.
And like, this isn't nothing against Rick Bonus. Like, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but like, at what point are you like,
Rick Bonus looks like he would yell at you in your front yard while he's getting the morning paper.
Bro. Well, then who was it? Who was the higher? And maybe it was we were just talking about Trotz potentially in Winnipeg. And like, the conversation was like, oh, well, he's really good about getting teams to the playoffs. It's like, what are we doing here? And like, that, I've heard that kind of conversation with several. Well, he's really good at getting a lot out of young guys. Well, he's really good at getting veterans to buy in. It's like, do NHL organizations really buy coaches based off of these, like, you know, small niche little areas where they like excel, and not because they're actually going to get them anywhere or move the needle at all?
I think in the case of Barry Trotz, the selling point was he's one of the best coaches.
For sure.
But when you are looking at a guy, and again, I'm just going back to it because it's a dunkathon today, but Rick Bonus, are you kidding me, dude? Like, when they were talking about hiring Jim Montgomery, I was like, man, that's a really good coach. Yeah. I think that would make the Jets better. I'm gonna like that, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, he goes to Boston. You're like, okay, kind of a weird thing for Boston to go from Cassidy to Monty, but I really like Monty, so it's fine. But going from Paul Maurice to Rick Bonus is like, what? I'm just not sure that you got any better. I'm not sure what you think that he's bringing to your organization that you needed. It just felt, it was like such a Jets thing to do. They took like 10 years to make this decision. They interviewed everyone under the sun. But they might have come to the worst possible conclusion.
Fun fact, Rick Bowness, one of the very few coaches in the world that has a worse NHL season than Jared Bednar. 92-93, he went 10-70-4 for the Ottawa Senators.
I was going to say, that's got to be Sens or Sharks, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just throwing it out there.
Woof. Woof.
All this nobody wants to live in Winnipeg is garbage. Not about Winnipeg, but if you're a dude who has NHL head coach aspirations, there are 32 of those jobs. Mm-hmm. And if you think that you can just sit it out and you're like Barry Trotz can absolutely be like, I'm going to take 1 year off to do whatever I want. And next year I can come back and do whatever I want because I'm Barry Trotz and he has that kind of track record. Some of these other guys can't be like, ooh, I don't think I want to live in Winnipeg. That's nonsense. Those jobs are way too valuable. And especially when you look at the Jets roster and you're like, there's actually a lot of talent there. There's something for me to work with. It's not like taking the freaking Kraken job. Like that's there's a real foundation for the Jets to build off of. You have a great top six forward core. You have a Vezina caliber goaltender. Defense obviously is a problem. That's why they didn't make the postseason. But like, there's things to work with there. And for Cheval Dayoff to do what he did, I think is I think everybody in the Central Division feels better today than it did yesterday.
Rudo, are you gonna add Reed real fast? Or I want to detour a little bit about Montgomery, but if you were gonna read,
we're good. You can go in.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to. So Jim Montgomery, like, I'm with you. I thought he was, other than Barry Trotz, I thought the most intriguing coach out there. And I thought Boston was an odd fit. Not for him.
Nice, dude.
Not for him, because to your point, why would you turn down that job? But just for where they are at with what they are potentially staring down, you know, just as their roster continues to get near the end, you know, their core of their roster continues to get near the end of their career. David Pastrnak's future is kind of in question. There's just a lot of things in the air. And I just thought going with Montgomery was just kind of an interesting, not what I expected.
Really, the whole thing is kind of odd when Bergeron decides to come back and they're like, okay, we're going to give this group like one last ride, and to do it under a different head coach is like, because if you were ever going to transition and like, hey, let's get to the next era of Bruins hockey. Okay, you move on from Cassidy, Bergeron retires, you move Pastrnak. Like, you start to do all those things that you need to do in order to, okay, let's switch it up, let's move it around, you know, whatever. This all feels very odd, and yet I think Monty is such a good coach. And there's still so much talent in Boston that I'm really not that concerned. Like, yeah. They're going to make the playoffs next year. They're not going to be an easy team to beat. And, you know, they could be pretty good again. So
you're saying they have one more Toronto first round elimination in them before you can officially turn the page on it?
Look, whoever's going to do it, it should be Boston. It should be Boston. Or if they get to the second round, it should be Boston that then eliminates Toronto, where they're like,
hey, you finally did it.
Yeah, we got out of it.
You still get Boston.
Yeah, and Boston still beats you, and it's just like, congrats.
All right. So these ideas sound like they might have came out of some Lightshade product. Go on over to Lightshade, one of their 11 different locations. They got all your THC and CBD needs.
Could you imagine if you're the decision makers of an NHL team and you're just sitting there getting really high together one night and one of them was like, nick, 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 nick.
Wait,
Bonus.
Wait, bro. Rick, Bonus. Go over to Lightshade.
It'll be hilarious.
Yeah. It would be the best, man.
You can use code DNVR to get 25% off on select products online at lightshade.com. You can order for pickup. You can go in. All of their bud tenders are extremely good at what they do. They can tell you anything you need to know about any of the products in the store. So be sure to check out Lightshade right now today if you want. It's the off season, so you can get a little bit silly at times. 11 different locations in the Denver Metro and Aurora areas. Go check them out today. Also brought to you by Athletic Greens, which I need some more of right now to keep me alive through this flu we got going
on. I actually had some yesterday because of that.
There you go. And that's why Jesse feels better than the rest of us. Go check them out today. It's just one scoop in your water every morning. They've got 75 different vitamins and minerals in there, a bunch of probiotics, all sorts of other stuff to keep you healthy, help boost your immune system, and have you good to go for things like workouts. A bunch of different athletes use it in their everyday routines, so be sure to check it out. And when you order at athleticgreens.com today, you can get a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 travel packs to go with it. So take control of your health. Go to athleticgreens.com and check them out. Second period. Third period? I can't even count anymore. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by
Lightshade. Got him with the good.
Yeah, I guess. So, obviously, the draft is in a week. Free agency the week after that. There's still a lot of big shakeup to come, but feel pretty good about the Avs in the Central right now, yeah?
Yeah, because, I mean, look at yesterday. Kevin Fiala gets traded for futures. So Minnesota loses an 85-point player for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I like the deal. I think Brock Faber has the chance to be really good in the NHL. And obviously the first-round pick will be nice. That doesn't help them next year.
Right.
You know, they had a 113-point season. They just pulled an 85-point player off their roster for nothing. So that's going to be a step back. Curious where they think they're going to make those points up, you know, Marco Rossi, Matt Boldy, et cetera, et cetera. But no Fiala is going to hurt them, so those guys are going to get worse. St. Louis.
And what are they doing in net?
St. Louis. Yeah, what are they going to do in net and without a lot of money to spend? St. Louis, I think, continues on. Dallas has a lot of things that they've got to figure out. Nashville's got the Forsberg decision looming where – I've said all along, I think that's going to get done. I think he's going to get an 8-year deal, about 8.5, and, you know, they can lose in the first round every year. Winnipeg, I don't know how they get any better. And Chicago and Arizona sort of exist.
Oh, yeah, hard rebuild there. Yeah. I was laughing yesterday on Twitter because a couple of the big St. Louis writers who are trashing the Avs and, oh, I don't know why everyone praises them for the way they built the team. They sucked for a long time. Now they got all those high draft picks and they listed Byram and all that, which is funny. It's like, that's actually just great asset management. But regardless, their whole thing was like, oh, see, the Blues have never been drafting that high. They're just never that. And it's like, yeah. And the Blues have one cup to show for it in 55 years. And it is one of those things where it does just show that, like, in this era, you have to go through the ebb and flow.
The bad times are a natural progression of a professional sports team. You're going to be bad. You have to be bad to get better.
I actually have a bone to pick with that. I mean, and I'm assuming you're talking about Strickland's tweet where he was like, oh, starting with these guys is pretty good. Like, they were all first overall picks.
Right.
Like, they made one first overall pick, and they got it right.
And even the pick was even controversial at the time.
Yeah, they got that one right. Landeskog, I think we can all say they got that one right. Even though if you go back and you look, like, there are maybe players, if you were starting your franchise from scratch, there might be players you would take
He's
over
going
him.
In the top five of that draft, though.
For the is he?
I think so. It might be more like five, but I think he goes top five.
Anyway, point is that, yeah, I mean, I think it would be a fun redraft. That draft class ended up like sneaky solid. So, anyway, I just think that it's a weird thing to be like, well, they got their draft picks right, especially when you look at the Blues and you go back how many years here talking about how they haven't had, they trade their first round pick pretty frequently here. because you look at, God, man, 2011, Colorado had that pick.
Yeah.
2011, 2013, 2015, 2019, they didn't even have first-round picks. And then you look at the guys that they picked Dominic Bach in 2018 and traded him. Robert Thomas, Tage Thompson, traded him. Robbie Fabry, traded him. And so it's like, yeah, so they're not drafting that high. They're also not doing very well with those first-round picks.
Now, they're also not drafting.
Like, Tage Thompson, they turn into Ryan O'Reilly. Robert Thomas looks like a good pick. Bach, they turned into Justin Falk. So, like, those are good moves that they've made. Those are quality decisions that they've made. But, yeah, it's a weird thing to lament. Oh, well, it sure helps when you have this and that. And it's like...
their one proper high pick that won the cup with them, they got right in Alex Pietrangelo.
Yeah. Right. Who promptly left.
Yeah. But it's not like they had no high-end talent. Like, come on now.
But you're talking, if you go all the way back to 2010, they've made two first-round picks in Robert Thomas and Jaden Schwartz. That both, well, in 2010, I guess they also had Tarasenko. So three first-round picks that all that played for them and were good. Like, actually good. So... it's just a weird criticism. Like St. Louis has not drafted well in the first round. They've done awesome outside the first round, getting guys like Jordan Binnington and Joel Edmondson and Colton Pareko and Vince Dunn. You know, they've done a good job outside the first round. Great. But that's not where you're typically finding star players.
Right.
And where did Colorado find all their star players? They got their first round picks right, dude.
Right.
It's not complicated here.
Well, and AJ, we've talked about that before, how, you know, the Avs get a lot of flack, even from their own fan base, about not having a lot of success past the first round. And it's like, okay, sure, but you have to go back. I mean, Connor Bleakley, but I mean, like, the Avs have generally done very well in the first round. And in this era, the Sakic-Bednar era, they have filled in around the edges with great deals, waiver wire pickups, guys like Val Nichushkin identifying, players that they can get in on the cheap who can make an impact. Like, they have found other ways to go about it other than needing to hit in the second, third, because those are all just lottery picks. And when you go through, it's hard for teams to hit on those. It's not just the Avs. And you, I've lost track of the amount of times you said it this run, AJ. The playoffs are won by your stars. Like, you have to have all those other pieces, but your stars have to be your stars. You know, Cale Makar wins a Conn Smythe, and Nathan MacKinnon saves one of his best games, you know, for game six of the cup final. I don't know if it was his best game of the playoffs, but that was his best game of the final. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
The cup is won with the stars. And when you're hitting on all of your first round picks, you're going to end up with some pretty good players.
Yeah.
Well, and like, you look at Colorado's top postseason scores, it's Makar, it's Mikko Rantanen, it's MacKinnon, it's Landeskog.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, well, you drafted and developed all of those guys.
Tampa. How many times did we talk about that leading up to the series? How and it was, you know,
it's weird Tampa things. I didn't see Andy Strickland criticizing Tampa Bay for drafting and developing Stamkos and Hedman.
Right.
Oh, they were in the top 10.
Funny how that works.
It's weird that Tampa blew top 10 picks along the way. Like, guys like Brett Connolly, they drafted Brett Connolly in top 10. They drafted Jonathan Drouin third overall ahead of Seth Jones. Imagine having Seth Jones next to Victor Hedman for a decade instead of Mikhail Sergachev. I don't know, man.
it is interesting because the Avs are entering that era of they're starting to move some of those guys. Justin Barron, obviously, the big one this year. But, you know, when you move those guys and you win a Stanley Cup, no one remembers the guys he moved.
Well, you certainly don't miss them the same way. If they don't win the Stanley Cup and Justin Barron goes on to be an all-star, you're like, God damn it, what could have been? And instead, you're just like, I hope he makes 17 all-star games. Go for it, dude. Yeah. Don't care. Got the cup. Like, you're happy. You got what you wanted. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
Okay.
Like,
we do have
like
some...
Nate said, you'd trade 10.
Oh, yeah.
Trade 10 first overalls now, or first rounders.
Got a couple super chats to get to really quick here. $20 from James saying EJ's singing lessons fund. Cheers to the DNVR team.
More than anything, just know the words. Just know the words, guy.
You got the chorus.
You shortcut the song there, champ.
$2 from Miss Truly saying, hope you're feeling better, boys. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Miss Truly.
$25 from El Jefe saying, love to all y'all and all that you do. Downtown was absolutely lit yesterday. Nas and Too Many Men t-shirt was the cherry on top. Thank you very much. $25. Yeah, very
shirt was great. Yeah. Shirt was great.
It was. And $5 from Houston saying, thanks for another great season. Also, we've been trying to reach you regarding your extended warranty.
Get out of here.
That was good.
So, going into this offseason, there's a lot of work to be done for the Avs, and we will get into all of that next week and all of this. But right now, as it stands, you still feel pretty good, certainly about the Avs in the Central, but honestly, wherever the Avs end up in the league, you feel pretty good about the team that they've built. So, all confidence going into the offseason, or do you think there's something specific the Avs need to address?
I think that they've got to worry about more than anything the defensive depth. I think that's my number one concern heading into the offseason, because I think they'll find a solution at goaltender. They'll either find a deal with Kemper, which is where I think that ends.
Yep.
Or, you know, they'll do something at goalie. Like they'll do whatever they've got to do. They're not just going to be like, all right, Frankie and Eustace, go get them. You know, like, it's not going to happen. So I think the defensive depth is, you know, what does Eric Johnson decide to do? What's his future hold? What does Josh Manson do? What do they do beyond that? So I think that that's the biggest question for me, because I think all the other questions, like they signed Kadri. If they sign him, great. You're fine there. If they don't, again, there's so many different options out there that I just think – I guess I'm just not that concerned about it. And then especially seeing the way that Mikko kind of filled in the 2C role this year where you're like, push comes to shove. Like,
right.
That guy did the job where you could always go back to that. So it's just not something I'm overly concerned about, but I am worried about – I get worried, right? Like you have a bona fide top four of Taves, Makar, Byram, and Gerard that you're like, you feel fine. Also, low-key, what? Sam Gerard doing like a cartwheel?
Cartwheel?
Coming out on the stage. Yeah. You're like, is this, so I guess the sternum injury isn't that bad, huh?
Even lifting the cup worried me, I guess.
That thing's as big as he is.
Nicely.
Well, he was holding his girlfriend on the ice after the game, and I was like, "Bro, like I got you. Like, are you all right?" Like, I was worried.
Making a joke to someone, like he's going to be in the best shape of his life this offseason because he has to lug the cup around everywhere.
Seriously,
Megan, do you want to go on? Are you worried? Where do you think for the Avs?
It's going to really depend on who stays and who goes that creates, like, okay, this is depending on who stayed here, this is the area that could create some kind of risk. And I do see, well, we'll talk about it next week too, but the biggest question marks I have are in the decor in that bottom pairing, and what that's going to look like, because I do just my instinct feels like they'll get things done with Kemper. And so I'm not really worried about goaltending. The forward depth is like AJ said, there's lots of options that I think will make sense. Like, I'm really optimistic about Lehkonen's future with Colorado. And so there's just different things that I'm less worried about with the forward depth. It's going to probably be the decor that has some question marks surrounding it, depending on who stays.
Man. Yeah. How nice is it that we get to cover a team where we're like, yeah, they're third pairings. It might be an issue, you know.
Well, we'll see if they're sixth and seventh guys, we'll see how good they are. No, but like to me, that is the part where, just kind of echoing what you both have just said, like you feel pretty comfortable. And I think part of the reason why is the team they've been modeling themselves after, or trying to model themselves after, Tampa, the team they now just beat. This has kind of been their thing. Keep your core intact and then fill in where you need, and you'll find guys with value.
Generally, don't make too much of the cap. Like, don't fret about it too much. You can, year to year, you can find answers. Yep. Like, right, they just gave Nick Paul a 7-year deal, and they're going to trade Ryan McDonagh so that they can fit a couple of these guys in. Like, you can always find answers.
Keep your core intact. And you can fill in around the edges. And I think that's what they're going to kind of embrace over the next several seasons. We've got Nate, we've got Landy, we've got Miko, Kale, Byram, Gerard. You know, I know Taves isn't locked up as long term, but like, you've got those guys, and what you're doing around it, you can figure it out. You'll have players that are available. I do think, genuinely, I do think you will find a few guys who will kind of embrace what Tampa has gotten their guys to embrace a little bit. Take a little bit of a haircut. Not big, but all right, I'll take a small haircut to stay here to make the money work because I see a fit and because I want to win. Again, you're not going to get Nazem Kadri to take 5.5. You know what I mean? But like, and I don't even know if you'd get Nazem Kadri to take any kind of cut, but like, you will find guys over the next few years who are willing to take a little bit less, maybe for an extra year, because they want to stay, because they want to win, and they like the fit of the team. So
I think the extent to which that happens has to start at the top. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see what MacKinnon wants to do. Cause if MacKinnon's like, give me $13 million, homie's not taking any haircut. Like, you're not, that's now the number one contract in the NHL. You're not talking about that guy sacrificing, right? Like, that's a guy getting his, which he's earned.
Yeah.
I would have no issues with that. But I tell you, if he rolls up and he's like, I'll do 10.5 or 11, I think he's done you a solid.
Yeah.
And I think that
if he does 10.5, cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. So there's room there, right? Like, so I think we'll see what MacKinnon does to kind of set that tone, because I don't think that I don't think that it establishes that culture of it.
If until, he doesn't do it
until the stars start, you know, like McCarr's
deal. Can they
deal,
pay him in chicken pasta?
Well, and like McCarr's deal, dude, like it was really expensive. And then other
a week
teams
later,
did
it
dumb
wasn't.
Shit
yeah.
immediately after that create that where you're like, are you serious with this McCarr money? Like, this is fucking ridiculous. So I do wonder, like, I do think that you're right that these guys could all take maybe $500K less. And I think I think you are going to see Val Nichushkin turn down potentially going out and getting $6.5 million from somebody and taking 5.5 to be in Colorado, because he knows that it's a great fit here with the coaching staff that trusts him, given his past, given how he got burned in Dallas and how badly that went. He understands maybe better than some other guys that if you're in a good place, you want to be in a good place.
Yep.
Like,
yep. Yep.
You really want to value the fit here. Especially if they're willing to give you that cash.
How much would Dallas have to pay Nichushkin to get him to come back? Like 8 or something insane?
The irony, man. The irony is that guy would have been perfect for the way they've played hockey the last few years.
Yep.
like a speedy, nasty forechecker with size. Like, he would have been the perfect Dallas star the last under the last two head coaches. I don't know. Sports, man.
All right. Any final thoughts around the table? Are we good?
We're good.
Guys, Arturi Lehkonen's an RFA. He'll be here for
at literally least one more can't year. Leave.
Yeah, he'll be here for at least one more year.
All right. Silly season is coming up. You know, we'll have your coverage for draft. I'll be going to Arizona for that, by the way. We're blowing it out for PHNX's draft show. Be sure to tune into that. More importantly, tomorrow.
Yep.
Are you live, Jesse? Or will
yep.
you just
Yeah, we're doing okay. it live. I talked to Yahir and all that stuff this morning, so we'll be live.
So,
are you guys
Jesse
gonna be in the studio?
Nope. Lamp. Studio, I was told, was already dismantled.
Yeah, what today is about, I guess.
Yeah.
So tune in tomorrow. Jesse's doing a show with a bunch of Avs media guys. Should be a fun one.
Oh, just as a quick aside, a shitload of people have sent me DMs. I will be getting to them this weekend. I've ignored them all week because they're still coming in.
Yeah.
I have like 60 something of them from people that I don't follow and stuff. So I promise, Riley, I'll get to all the DMs when this weekend, and I'll get back to people. But I've been putting that off specifically.
Shout out the people hitting me up on Reddit Messenger. Didn't know that was even a thing.
Yeah. That was
you just
great
caught me something.
Yeah, so we do appreciate all the love y'all have been sending us. So thank you very, very much for that. But we're going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all of y'all. You know the drill. You can go listen to Jesse tomorrow, and we will talk to you on the next one.